Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
One of the great NFL writers of all time. He's in the Hall of Fame. I would say that he helped develop my love of pro football, actually. Having the subscription to Sports Illustrated as a kid. Reading all those articles.
Appointment reading for me was the original MMQB, your 10 things I think. Then it got, man, the 10 things I think was even better for me, but that was the weekly read of record in
football
world.
And you're a beer
world.
Lover, so that probably, yes. That part of the column spoke to you.
I believe Allagash White would get mentioned prominently in that portion.
We're talking about the great Peter King, who joins us thanks to Aditi. So Aditi, I'm going to move out of the way and let you say hello to Peter.
I feel like we should just let the two of them talk about everything they read you ever wrote.
It's good to be on with you guys. Hi, Aditi. Hi, you guys. How are you?
We're great, Peter. Did you enjoy the Pirates game Saturday night?
Man, that is a grim ball club right there. Woof.
Yes, it is.
But obviously everybody loves PNC. It's a great place. And as soon as I walked in, I have one annual gigantic can of Iron City, and I had that at the game and enjoyed it. It was a beautiful evening. The rain missed us a bit, and no, it was nice. We had a good time. Nice fireworks afterwards, so it was cool.
Peter, would it be anathema for you then, as an Iron City drinker, to have our we call our producer Donnie Football? He is a football guy through and through. He would recommend that you take in maybe an Icy Light Mango in that situation. Is that off the table completely?
I think it's probably off the table, but I'm not opposed to any beer because I'm a big wheat beer guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of different kind of weird beers. So I'd try any one of them, but I'm not a huge light beer person, but I'd give it a go.
It's so funny, Peter. I remember once asking Jim Kelly why Western PA. This is way back when I was at the Wall Street Journal. I wasn't living in Pittsburgh. And I said, why does Western PA produce so many great football players? And without hesitation, his answer was, because our moms drank Icy Light when we were conceived.
Wow. That's good.
But when we're talking about great football players, I know in this division, somebody needs to finish last. But, Peter, you've riled up the masses here. Why are the Steelers your pick for fourth in the AFC North and basically the bottom of the National Football League?
Well, I mean, look, I guess my biggest thing that I would say is that, there's an old saying in football that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't really have any. And I don't know if the Steelers have a quarterback right now. And I don't know clearly if – I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen in Cleveland. But, I mean, if Deshaun Watson – gets a long suspension and it has to be served this year, that's going to have a big impact on what the Browns do. But look, I mean, to me, it seems pretty logical. You know, the Bengals are on their way up. They may not be as good as they were last year. I think they got some breaks toward the end of the year. In a couple of things that happened in their playoff games, but, and I think the Ravens were one of the most injured teams I've ever seen in all the years I've covered football last year. So to me, I mean, they were 8-3 at Thanksgiving, and they never won another game because they were just battered. So, you know, there's four teams in the division. And to me, I think the Steelers, it's easier for me to make an argument for the other three to win the division and or make the playoffs than it is for me to make that argument for the Steelers.
You recognize that voice. Peter King is joining us here. Peter, we gave you a lot of credit in the days leading up to the draft because you were, for my money, one of the few voices who was saying, hey, they like Pickett more than Willis. My sources tell me the Steelers would take Pickett when everyone else in the world seemed to think the Steelers had a love affair with the Liberty quarterback. So I'm not just saying this to pat you on the back, but you knew that they had an affinity for this Pitt quarterback. Tell us about that.
Well, look, some of that is luck because I think a lot of times what happens when you try to predict who's going to pick who in the draft, you talk to quite a few people around the league, and sometimes you are just fortunate to have a source or two who knows people inside the Steelers. The Steelers are a very, very tough team to read around the time of the draft because you don't have people inside the Steelers who leak, you know, or who at least leak to media that I know of anyway. And so therefore, the Steelers have always been one of those teams to me where I have to ask other people, hey, what do you hear about the Steelers? And so I think I know some people who know what the Steelers are thinking sometimes. And so that's why this year I said that. Now, I've been wrong about the Steelers plenty of times in the past, but I also think that one of the things that the Steelers did, and they did it expertly this time, is they made it known that they were going to the pro days of an awful lot of quarterbacks in this draft. And they weren't just going there with a position coach. They were going with Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert. Because really, this is the last big decision of Kevin Colbert's professional career, and he wanted to make absolutely sure he got it right. And whether he got it right or not, we'll know in 3 or 4 years. But that was the reason why I gave the Steelers Pickett.
Peter, I mean, this was not a year where people liked many of the quarterbacks in the draft class. We saw that borne out, especially after Pickett went, with how long it took for Desmond Ridder to get picked. Do you look at Kenny Pickett, though, and see somebody? Like, what do you see at the NFL level when you take stock of his physical attributes, what he did in college, and where he landed? A bright future, or are you more muted on the guy like so many other people seemingly have been as far as his pro potential?
I think he's got a good future, but I don't know if he's got a star future. And that's where you get into a problem with almost every quarterback in the draft class this year. And I think the Steelers took him in a realistic place with a realistic draft pick without selling the farm to try to go get him. That's when you know that you have smart people running your team, that you don't go out and sell the farm to try to get a quarterback. Because what would have happened if somebody picked Kenny Pickett 16, 17, 18? Somebody maybe jumped ahead of the Steelers and knew this. If that's the case, then you just have to shrug your shoulders and say, well, that's all right. We'll either get one down the line this year or we'll get one next year. You can't panic about a quarterback when you're absolutely unsure of whether he's going to be the long-term guy. But I think in terms of, you know, the thing, there was a great video up on YouTube, and usually because I don't study these guys nearly as much as other people who do my job, I don't know all that much about Kenny Pickett. But what I found really interesting is that YouTube puts out a 12 to 15 minute video of the top draft choices with a bunch of their plays in it. And I watched that for a lot of the players. And Kenny Pickett had one throw that he made that was 39 yards in the air to the back of the end zone. I forget who they were playing. It might have been Syracuse. I forget who it was.
Might have been Clemson, actually.
It was Clemson. So he was on the move, and he had to make this throw like lightning fast, and he made it. It was beautiful. It was a bullet, and it was right exactly where it should be. And look, you know, that's not necessarily what he's going to do every time when he has that throw to make. But I do think that I've seen him make a lot of those throws. Bill Walsh used to say, if you show me a player who can make some great plays, I should be able to coach him to make great plays consistently. And so, you know, look, it's obviously going to be up to a coaching staff to get all of that out of him. And we'll see. But he certainly has tools to be a good NFL quarterback, and now he's just got to do it.
Well, that's the perfect segue right there, Peter. You know, in this town, there are a lot of people that are frustrated with Mike Tomlin's playoff record over the last 10 years. But by the same token, Mike Tomlin teams are never out of it. I was just talking to Kevin Stefanski about how with Duck Hodges, Mike Tomlin almost got into the playoffs. What do you think it is about him? All your years around him, all your years covering the game, what about him stands out as singular?
I think he's respected a lot more by people outside of Pittsburgh, a lot more than he is respected by people inside Pittsburgh, you know, who are in the city limits, you know, in you know, who live in the area. When I was putting this list together, I talked to a few people around the league, and I say, hey, what do you think of this? And I kind of like the Lions. I really like the Chargers. I like the Eagles. I'm a little down on the Steelers. I'm down on this. And one guy who I was talking to, a general manager in the league, said, and I quote, this is a year where Mike Tomlin is going to be exceedingly valuable because they will be competitive, and they will be competitive in large part because of Mike Tomlin. And I just think that when you talk to players who have been around that team and who have played for that team, you know, over the years, they have such incredible respect for Tomlin. They play so hard for Tomlin. And I just think a lot of times people who are critical of Tomlin over the years, the thing I've always said is that, look, probably nobody who ever coaches in Pittsburgh, probably, is ever going to match the postseason record of Chuck Knoll. But as of right now, you know, Mike Tomlin has a better regular season record than both Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher. And so he's doing something right. And don't tell me that that's because he had Roethlisberger all the time. You know, Pat Riley used to say when he was coaching the Lakers, my job is to make my team better, not to roll the ball out. And that's exactly the way Mike Tomlin has been with Roethlisberger on the team, when he's been hurt, when he's been available, when he's been unavailable. And I think he's one of the best coaches in the game by far.
Peter, the act of replacing Roethlisberger, we've spent a lot of time on Pickett. We haven't as much on Trubisky. There was all kinds of talk before free agency that Trubisky was going to get like a Bridgewater-sized contract because he had found something in Buffalo as a backup. Something clicked for him. So as Tomlin sets out on this mission to replace Roethlisberger, what do you think? I mean, should Trubisky be their starter week one and see what happens and go from there?
I think that they should do exactly what I think they are going to do. Take them both to training camp, sit them both down, and say, the job is open. May the best man win. And because it, you know, I don't know how you could watch Mitchell Trubisky's body of work for 4 years in Chicago and think, well, there's our guy. You can't do it. I mean, you can project a lot of optimism and say, oh my God, he really learned something under Brian Daboll and in Buffalo and all that stuff. Listen, it's all a bunch of happy talk. It's, you know, the guy's got to go out and do it. He hasn't done it yet. There's no, you know, I thought he was going to end up with the Giants as the backup quarterback. But obviously when the Steelers came in and gave him a legitimate shot, he had to take that. So look, he's going to have a legitimate shot. But I think if Kenny Pickett is clearly better in practice and the preseason games, Pickett should play. If Trubisky's clearly better, he should play. If it's close, I think Trubisky probably should play, at least right away. But nobody should have a clear lock on this job entering training camp.
Peter, you just talked about the way, like sort of the gap and the difference in how Mike Tomlin is viewed within the city limits here in this Pittsburgh Fishbowl versus outside. And one of the reasons I was a little surprised at seeing the Steelers 23rd in your column today in Football Morning in America was inside Pittsburgh right now with adding Flores to the coaching staff, even if it's only for 1 year, and with Tomlin's overall reputation as a defensive coach, and some of the additions they've made obviously this offseason, Miles Jack, guys like that, it seems like people here are very high on the defense, and I would think if the defense is as good as it can be, it'll be tough for them, I guess, to sink to the bottom of the AFC North because they'll be competitive. So that was one thing that stood out to me. Are you looking at them and not seeing maybe that same strength on that side of the ball?
Well, at the end of the day, this was not a great offense last year, and they lost their most important player on offense. And I think especially if one of these quarterbacks doesn't really take the bull by the horns and have an unexpectedly very good year, they're going to struggle, and they're going to have to be a running team with the offense built totally around Najee Harris. Now, you know, I like Najee Harris a lot, but this is a throwing game right now. This is a passing game. And not many teams, even the Ravens, who want to run it more than anybody else, have probably the emerging star tight end of anybody in football, and to me, are going to be capable of throwing the ball in the intermediate areas of the field with a healthy Lamar Jackson. So I don't know. I mean, I see what you're saying about the defense. I like their defense. How do you not like it? You know, with T.J. Watt coming back and with most of their key guys coming back. But, you know, again, you've got to play better than you played last year on offense, and you're asking a quarterback who's either going to be Mitchell Trubisky or Kenny Pickett to either be Ben Roethlisberger's equal or play better than he did last year. That's the reason why I'm skeptical about the Steelers.
Peter, there are a lot of electric players in this division. You just named two of them in Lamar Jackson and T.J. Watt. I could say Ja'Marr Chase also is. I could say that Myles Garrett is. Who do you really, truly, genuinely derive pleasure from watching play?
Wow.
I love watching T.J. Watt play because, you know, there's a lot of guys who you can say are guys who take no plays off. But, you know, for those who remember Kevin Green in his prime well, T.J. Watt's Kevin Green. He's, even when he's got something bothering him, he is a threat on every snap. I really grew to like Najee Harris a lot last year, by the way. And so I'm a big Najee Harris guy. But probably the other guy who I think is really, really fun to watch is Joe Burrow, in part because he's obviously really good, But the other part is that he's just, nothing seems to faze him at all. You know, here's a guy who got basically got booted out of Ohio State. You know, he couldn't win the job at Ohio State. And he's got to go seek his fortune and go find somewhere to go play quarterback. And, you know, he leaves, he's an Athens, Ohio kid, and he leaves Columbus with his tail tucked between his legs, and he's got to go prove himself. And he's basically shoved it up everybody's rear end, including Urban Meyer, ever since, you know. And so I like guys who think they're better than everybody else thinks they are and then goes out and proves it. That's one of the things that I like about watching Burrow. He still does that most weeks in the NFL.
Peter, you've proven over the years to be a must-read. This is going to sound very dorky and nerdy, but I remember you wrote a story in the early 90s about the 70s Steelers that I probably read like 20 times. I think it was called Steel Age or something like that. I've got a weird memory for stuff like that.
It was
that,
on the 20th anniversary. It was on the 20th anniversary of the birth of their dynasty.
Yeah.
And I remember Terry Bradshaw, when I interviewed him, basically got up from his chair and was so fired up. And I ended my story with Terry Bradshaw just like yelling, "We were bad, Jack," or something like that. But that was a great, you know why else I remember that story? Because
Lambert talked to Jack Lambert. Exactly. It's so hard to get
Jack Lambert for it. Yeah. He was in his, I don't know if he's still like a forest ranger. I mean, this was almost 30 years ago. So I have no idea what he's doing with his life now, but that story was such a pleasure to do. My wife is from Pittsburgh. Her dad, when he was alive, every Sunday would have a gold terrible towel on the antenna of his television in Dormont. And, I mean, this was not a cable TV family. This was, let's get your channels over the air. And every Sunday, the sound would go down, and Myron Cope's voice would fill the house. And, so that was a fun story for me to do, and I was really popular with the in-laws after that story.
Well, it's been an honor to have you on, and Aditi, thanks so much for setting this up. This was awesome.
Peter, thanks so much. I hope to see you soon.
Oh, hey, Aditi, thank you. And guys, thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Peter. You bet.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.